And every one that striveth for the mastery refraineth himself from all things. And they indeed that they may receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible one. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. These words, dear faithful, of course, come from the epistle which we just read. And in that epistle, St. Paul uses that analogy, the analogy of the athlete striving for victory. And that analogy, I find, is a really good one. And one that really not only is good because of the fact that we can see the outset of parallels, but because we can even dig deeper and see how we can really apply that same analogy, that same focus and drive of the athlete to our own spiritual lives, of course, which is what St. Paul wants us to do. And it's by that analogy that we can really find that upcoming means for our spiritual growth. I mean, it hits home to me, as some of you may know, being someone who used to be an athlete, and long ago, of course. But you know, it really does focus home because of the fact that, you know, I joke sometimes in saying that was, you know, that striving after, I guess you could say, baseball was the false god worshipped before the true God was found. And we can see in that a real multitude of lines that we can draw from. First off, I think in seeing that working of the athlete that St. Paul talks of, we see him striving to be great at his craft. And in order to do so, what does he have to do? He has to invest a large quantity of his time. For every time he is seen playing a game or entering into a competition, he has spent hours working on his skills. He spent hours in the gym. He spent hours practicing in order to get just that little bit better, to improve himself a little bit more, so that when it comes time, when it matters, that he is able to follow through with the skills earned at that point. When I was playing baseball, you know, I can't give you a number of hours spent at the gym or practices or playing, just outside of that, playing catch with my father or baseball with friends and working out year round, playing, waking up early in the morning on the weekends to play these awful fall league games in the cold, and even getting a job at an indoor batting cage. Why? Just so I could be around it, just so I could work a little bit more than the next person next to me. And to advance spiritually, it's the same thing. We have to reflect on our lives and see that how much time do I actually put in trying to grow spiritually? How much time do I actually put into my life, to my day-to-day actions, to try to get a little bit closer to God, to try to overcome my faults and failings a little bit more? In order to do so, in order to grow in any kind of way, we have to be willing to invest that time that as we get older becomes more and more precious to us, but more and more needed to be invested to conquer ourselves, to take that next step forward in our spiritual life. It's not enough for us to come to Mass on Sunday. Don't think that that is doing our duty just because that's what the Church prescribes as a true duty of a Catholic. No, our faith is something that is lived each and every single day. It goes beyond just coming to Sunday Mass. It goes beyond maybe just saying a daily rosary. These are the things that should be looked at as the bare minimum. These are the things that are just what we should do to try to stay out of additional sin. But rather, it should be our goal to invest more time into our spiritual life. How many of us really take that effort to come when we can to an extra Mass during the week We know that it's there. We know that we have a busy day. And sometimes we can look at our schedule and say, I could have made it. It would have been a little bit of time that I didn't want to sacrifice, but I could have made that investment of time. How many of us really search out for different devotions for us to embrace and to learn about and to institute different prayers and different devotions into our lives? How many of us study the lives of the saints? I mean, we provide a saint calendar that every single day has different saints on it, whoever's feast day it is. How many of you look at that calendar, see the saint, and then think to yourself, maybe I should read a little bit about them? All it takes is a little bit of a Google search or to open up Butler's Lives of the Saints or any other kind of book on the saints, and we learn a little bit more about their lives. How many of us listen to a sermon during the week? How many of us study our catechism? When was the last time, not instructing just your children, when was the last time you actually cracked a catechism book yourself in order to refresh what you know to be the aspects of the faith, to fortify that more in ourselves? When was the last time we did spiritual reading and set aside each and every day time for that? These are investments of time. These are things that we put forth an effort into doing, and in return, we are able to make that one little step closer to God. Secondly, what do we see from the athlete in that analogy of St. Paul? In order for him to strive to be better at his craft, he also has to be willing to suffer. There's that old adage of no pain, no gain. Well, it's true when it comes to any aspect of athletic searching to improve. You can't do so unless you're willing to actually suffer a bit yourself. So many times, like I said, this is the worldly aspect of it. And for me, returning to those ideals to recognize that false God brings me to understand what I have to do more in honoring the true God. So many times that I would go in to the batting cages and take swings until my hands bled, until I had blisters, or I'd run virtually until I could no longer take steps, or I'd lift weights until I could no longer lift anymore, perpetually covered in bruises from various activities. All that little bit of pain, all that little bit of suffering, not enjoyable in and of itself, but it was all for that end in that. And we can only grow spiritually if not only are we willing to give time, but if we're willing to give of ourselves as individuals, if we're willing to actually be able to put ourselves out there to suffer a bit for our faith, to be able to sacrifice of ourselves, to give of our own comfort. It's good for us to pray. This is a good example for you. It's good for us to pray all the time, and it's good for us when we know that when we feel like saying our prayers, we're ready to go. We'll put in that effort and we'll say those extra prayers because we're kind of, you know, fired up about our prayer life. But then we come down to these arid times, and it's hard. We don't necessarily want to. That's not an evil aspect of our lives that we don't want to pray. That's our natural inclination we're naturally drawn away from that investment of prayer. But it's in those times that we don't want to pray, and you've heard this plenty of times, that it matters the most, because it's in those times we suffer a little bit to do so. Persevering in our prayers when we're tired, we've had a long day, all we want to do is go to bed, and we know that we have our night prayers before us, or our rosary has not been completed, and we think to ourselves, well, I'll just throw in the towel for the day. When I could give a little bit of my substance, I can give a little bit of my comfort and finish what I've sought out to begin in the day. I'm drawn to do recreation, and everybody's entitled to and needs recreation in their lives. But how often do I spend endless amounts of time in recreation? And how often do I actually cut that short to engage in something spiritual in my life? How many times do I say, you know what, I'm going to turn off the television, or I'm going to turn off the computer, and I'm going to pick up a book and do some spiritual reading? How many times do I fast? We know that as adults, when the fast days come up, we're required to fast. But how many of us actually will fast on a day when we don't have to? How many of us will try to figure out on the fast days that we have to fast the exact amount of food that I can get away with eating in my small meals in order to not fall into sin? And I'll eat every last ounce of that. How many of us take on extra prayers when we know that we can fit it into our schedule, but we just don't want to give of that last little bit of our time, that last little bit of our comfort? In order to grow, we have to be willing to sacrifice. We have to be willing to push ourselves outside of what is comfortable, outside of where I am now. Where I am now spiritually is where I am. If I want to get closer to God, I have to go further. I have to do more. I have to perfect myself. And it only comes by that willingness to suffer a little in our lives, to remove that comfort in our own spiritual life. Because in comfort, there is complacency. Thirdly, an athlete striving for improvement works on their shortcomings. We've all heard the saying, practice makes perfect. But rightfully so. I had a coach that used to say, practice does not make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. It's only by recognizing where their flaws are, recognizing the areas that they're not very proficient in their sport, that an athlete can actually gain ground in his performance. He has to look at himself and say to himself, what do I need to do in order to get better in the areas that I'm not as good as I can be in? It does me no good to sit there and look at the areas that I'm proficient in, because I'm already doing well in those areas. Yes, I have to maintain and perhaps get a little bit better at those areas too, but what I really need to do is focus on the things that I'm not doing well. An example would be a roommate that I had of mine in college. He was on the baseball team, and ad nauseum, he would inevitably, in the middle of the night, as I'm trying to curl up and go to bed, he'd be there with a bat in the room, taking slow motion swings and asking me to critique areas of his swing. I wanted to throw something at him when he was doing this, but it's that idea of find the flaw, find the weak point, so I can work on it. And that is what makes good athletes better. And it's that in our spiritual lives which is going to make us better. We don't want to recognize our weaknesses. We don't want to recognize our flaws, our faults and failings, our deficiencies in the spiritual life. We don't want to reflect upon the areas that we fall short of God. Because why? Because it's embarrassing to ourselves. Our pride stands in the way of it. We don't recognize that even that little bit of pain that it causes our own pride, that in that is where we can find spiritual growth. Naturally speaking, we don't want to admit that we fall short. Yeah, we can say it outwardly, but by doing something about it is where we actually really recognize it in our humility. We all have strong points in our spiritual life. We should never tell ourselves that we're completely deficient, because there are aspects in our spiritual life where we are doing well, or we do have strengths in them. And yes, we should foster those. Yes, we should put them to good use, because they are gifts that come to us from God Almighty Himself. He wants us to use them well. But those aspects where we do well, those are not the difficult points for us usually. Those are the things that we do almost more naturally. Those are the virtues that we have as individuals, those gifts that we have from above, that we embrace and do well without much effort and much forethought and trying into it. But it's those areas where we realize we do fall short that we have to focus on. None of us are perfect. Just as none of us are without virtue, none of us are truly perfect either. So, what do? We have to take time and focus and try to understand where we fall short. Lent is coming upon us. And so we should make that part of our preparation for that great season. It's a penitential season for us all. And it really, when we look at it, it leaves us with two choices. The choices are to sacrifice because we have to go through the motions of Lent. All right, I fast on the fast days, and perhaps I'm giving something up that, you know, I give up every year because it just seems like I should give something else up. You know, maybe it's I'm going to give up coffee, or maybe I'm going to give up sweets or something like that. But we have to look at those type of sacrifices as the sacrifices of children. It's good for children to give up things like sweets. It's good for children to give up things like soda or whatever they, little things like that, because it's like a training tool. You train children to give up little things that they really like, so later on in life, they can do better sacrifices when they're adults. But we as adults, we can't give up the same things. We aren't children. We have to focus on where we can do the most good for ourselves spiritually, to make the most benefit for ourselves spiritually in that growth. There's no better season than Lent to actually make progress in the spiritual life, because we can sacrifice with a purpose for that reason. And that's the second choice. That's the choice that each of us should make. Septuagesima is that preparation for the great season of Lent. So how do we prepare well to sacrifice? Well, first and foremost, like we said with point number three, is that we all have faults and failings that we have to work on. So take time, starting today, take however much time you need, whether you need a few days, whether you need a couple of weeks, whatever it may be, to start doing meditation each and every day. Take 10, 15 minutes out of your day and to focus on, in your meditation, what are my faults and failings? What are my primary faults in my life? I don't mean, oh, I fall into such and such a sin, and this time I did this. I mean, look back and look for the common denominator of all of that. Look for the underlying cause of those sins that you do confess in confession. Take time each and every day, if you don't do it already, to make an examination of conscience for the day. And you'll start to see patterns. You'll start to see areas where either you fall or areas where you really struggle to maintain, to try to do the virtuous thing. And in those, you'll find the underlying fault that you struggle with the most. Then, once you recognize that fault, or those couple of faults that you have, focus in on those one or two things and say to yourself, now, what type of penance can I do during Lent that actually will help me in these areas? What type of penance can I do that will be something that I can maintain, but at the same time, I know is actually going to be penitential, and I know is going to be fruitful for my particular areas of weakness? So, for instance, perhaps you, in your reflection, you find that slothfulness is your predominant weakness, your predominant fault. How can you sacrifice well to overcome, even just a little bit, in the area of slothfulness? Well, a good start to it is to realize that I should set my alarm clock maybe for half an hour earlier. In the grand scheme of things of sleep, it's not all that much time. But in my own slothful nature, that extra half an hour of sleep is something that I can sacrifice and will be hard for me to do. And in that half an hour, don't waste it. Don't get up and, you know, watch the news or you know, check the internet or something, get up that half an hour early and do some prayers. Do some spiritual meditation. Do some spiritual reading. Do something in terms of serving and loving God in that half an hour time span. Another great aspect towards slothfulness is making out a daily schedule the night in advance. Taking your time to sit down and actually write out the tasks that you have to do the next day. It serves two purposes. First off, the slothful person is not organized, and so it takes that extra added effort to do so. So it is sacrificial. And two, you will realize that you have more time to do more in your day by actually writing it out. And it'll allow you to grow upon that, to do more work, to do more prayer, to do more things in order to perfect yourself. Perhaps lust is the vice that we struggle the most with. How do we sacrifice towards that? Well, perhaps during Lent I'm going to curb any frivolous entertainment because that is a source of idleness that can cause temptation. Maybe I'm going to give up television altogether because I know it tempts me. Or give up the internet outside of the times that I have to use it actually for my occupation. And then that way I avoid unnecessary occasions of sin. Perhaps I make it a point to go above and beyond in terms of the sacraments, because the sacraments are a great healing part to that vice of lust. Perhaps I go every week to confession. I make it a point to go every single week. Perhaps I make it a point to go to one extra mass every single week. Why? Because the graces from those sacraments are the things that are going to fortify us in taking steps forward. Perhaps I lack charity in my life. Then why not volunteer to help where I'm not inclined? Don't volunteer to help somebody that you like. Volunteer to help in an area that somebody perhaps is a little bit annoying to you. Perhaps an area that you are not inclined to do that type of work. Maybe you can come and help in cleaning the church on a Saturday to get it prepared for a Sunday. Or stay after to help clean up afterwards from coffee and donuts and things downstairs. Or perhaps you can make a meal or something for somebody that needs a meal. Or just to go out of your way to visit the sick. We have several people who aren't able to make it to Mass because they are sick. They would love to see a good Catholic visitor come their way. And it does so much to boost their own morale to fight that good fight. If we help somebody that we aren't inclined to help, we perfect ourselves a little bit more. St. Teresa of Lisieux, she went out of her way to help a nun that was extra cruel to her. Why? Because in that was the exercise of the virtue of charity, because it was difficult. Perhaps we lack a prayer life for ourselves. We're not inclined towards internal reflection and internal acts of piety. Well, take some devotions, put them into a schedule for yourself, and say them every single day during Lent. Make sure that your basics are covered, of course, your rosary and things, and your morning and night prayers, but then add something extra to that and put it written down as a schedule and put it there someplace that will remind you every single day. Push yourself a little further than what you normally do. Whatever the struggle is, and there's a myriad of other types of faults and failings that are out there, and there are a myriad of other types of sacrifices that can be made to help our faults and failings. Whatever our struggles are, they are our own. We shouldn't compare them to somebody else, but we should look to see what does best for me to correct those areas of weakness. And we have to resolve ourselves to the fact that it takes work. It takes effort. It takes sacrifice. If we want to improve, we have to be willing to put in that work. We have to be willing to humble ourselves. We have to be willing to know ourselves. And if you try and struggle to come up with the proper penance that will work with that, try to figure it out on your own, because it is the best when you can come up with it and realize that it is a true sacrifice and it fits you as an individual well. But if you really do try and you can't figure out the sacrifice, ask one of the priests and tell them your predominant fault, and we can help you as well. Lent is coming. We can't hide from it. We can't avoid it. And we have that choice looming in front of us. Go through the motions, and then, as St. Paul says, we're like one beating the air. We succeed at nothing. Or we sacrifice fruitfully. And by sacrificing fruitfully, focused on our own areas of need, then we work towards that incorruptible crown that each one of us should be striving after. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.